Let's turn to number 491. The verse for the heading of this song, the heading of this song says, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. And I think that should be our desire as we listen to the message today. It's quite empty up here. I think Benny would probably appreciate it when he's ready to preach at the front benches. Maybe some of the ones of y'all that are back there, if you don't mind moving on up towards the front. The same way over here, if you feel like it. It's quite empty up here. So singing sounds a lot better, and preaching and talking seems a whole lot better if they're at the front. So if you feel like moving up, move up. Thank you for that response. Number 491.
We extend Christian greetings and welcome each one to the service. You are so welcome to be here this morning. Glad you're here. This is one of the smallest groups that I've stood in front of for a long time, especially in this building. So we do appreciate that you responded and moved forward. Looks a little more united, at least, than what it had earlier. So we welcome each one. Do we have any announcements? Okay, I have just the few more. We'll not be having instruction class this evening. And just a reminder of the service at Faith Mission, their Bible school, starting tomorrow night through next Sunday night. I looked on the bulletin board, and the title is Interpreting the Bible Through the Eyes of Jewish Culture by Joe Mullett from Holmes County. And this is at 7 o'clock each evening. Also, just we're thankful a few that aren't here because they're away from home in service for a week or two. Wendell Hirschberger and Randy left 2 weeks ago. I guess it was a week ago. And then Titus Hirschberger and Robert Schrock and Kendall Byler and Anthony Miller left last evening for Oregon in CAM work. So we're glad for that. Quite a few obvious are sick this morning. Ken and Dwayne are both sick. And a number of other people were sick. So we also canceled jail services today. And I thought of something this morning as Brother Monroe was sharing. He thinks preachers like when people come up front, and made a few other comments, I think. And I think sometimes it's interesting to me when you have ushers or you have different people have different responsibility, and after they've been in a while, why they come and kind of talk to you a little bit. And in other words, to get a picture of what it's like when people don't respond to the usher or they come in late or a few of these things. And so I guess I've struggled with that as I think about slowing down one of these days. How much of this do I share with the congregation that I have observed over the years? And I have a lot of positive things, good things that I've observed over the years, which we certainly thank and praise the Lord for as well. But there are also others. Might be interesting to you to know, I put a relay on last evening about number sick, so we need some volunteers to go to jail. It'd be interesting for you to know maybe how many responded. I think we ended up with the same before the relay as we had after, or the same after relay as we had before. So that gives you a little idea how many responded. And we've had similar experiences like that. But then again, we're thankful for the response that we do get, and we sure thank the Lord for that. All right. At this time, let's stand together for prayer. I think we'll ask Brother Elmer to lead us in prayer this morning. All right, you may be seated. This morning, I want to continue. We mentioned earlier, a few weeks ago, we talked about called and ordained through the church. And we mentioned then that we want to be looking at the pastoral epistles. We want to be sharing some in the next number of months, possibly, from these epistles. And it's been a blessing to me. I've been in my daily devotions. I've been doing a little repetitious reading. I read from one chapter, and then I read it again, and some of them I've read several times, and I want to continue to read these. And I've been blessed by the instruction that we find in the pastoral epistles, and I've also been convicted of needs and areas in my own life. And I trust God will continue to speak to me. And I also like for this not only be for the ordained, for the one whom the Lord will choose in the future as the Lord tarries, but for all of us to recognize that the Apostle Paul and his instructions that he gave to Timothy and to Titus concerning the responsibilities of those who are ordained. And I was blessed also in some of the practical teachings that Paul instructed Timothy and Titus that they should preach about. I've titled my message this morning simply Introduction to the Pastoral Epistles. I didn't really know what else to title it, so that's the title that I gave. As we look into 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus, I'd like to possibly, it's possibly been 2 years ago, I believe, I attended the Southeastern Ministers Meeting, and they usually have a little different method in their ministers meeting than we do in our Beachy Fellowship. And I've received some appreciation for it. They usually have about three or four speakers rather than have a different speaker for each topic. And usually these speakers will speak all 3 days. And I think it was about 2 years ago when I was there in the morning. I didn't attend all the services that time. They had a guest speaker whom they introduced as Ken Miller from Pilgrim Fellowship in Stewart's Draft. And I think you all know him. And his calling was, his responsibility was, to have three devotionals, or 3 mornings, from the pastoral epistles. And he shared something that first morning that I was there that I had never recognized or before, and that blessed me. And I did some studying on that. And he said this, and let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 2. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 2. And he says, Paul here, I think I'll read the first verse as well. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior, and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, mine own son in the faith, grace, mercy and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus, and Jesus Christ our Lord. All right, now I'd like to turn to the next one, and 2 Timothy chapter 1 as well, and we'll read verses 1 and 2. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus, our Lord. Now going over to Titus chapter 1, verse 4. To Titus, mine own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Now, I don't know if you've noticed anything different about these three verses that we read, but Paul wrote in the other 10 books that Paul wrote, he always said, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. In all 10 of his other writings, that's what he said. And now, did you notice there's a difference in his greetings to the in the pastoral epistles? He writes in the other 10, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Brother Ken suggested, and in the other ones he says, grace,
mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, Brother Ken suggested, I don't remember exactly how he said it, that Paul knew that preachers not only needed grace and peace, but they also needed mercy. And so we don't find the word mercy in any of the other greetings that Paul gave. Now, I think there's one in Jude and maybe one in John, which Paul wouldn't have written. But most of all, the other greetings just talk about grace and peace. And so I'd like to look at this. I'm not sure that I have all the answers to this, but I believe Paul had a purpose for it. And when we think about grace, maybe Paul is saying you preachers need to teach about mercy. And not only teach about it, but you also need to practice it with those whom you are responsible for. And I can see that that's an area that I possibly have failed many times in showing mercy to people. And so I was blessed as I looked this again this morning. I don't remember a lot that Ken said in that devotional, but that left an impact on me, and I remembered it. All right, now I'd like to look at the three words we have here about grace and mercy and peace. I'd like to look at the Strong's. And it's for grace, it says, especially the divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in the life. And we talked about that in our Sunday school this morning some, about the importance of teachings and then living out that teaching in our daily walk of life. And so I'm blessed by that. As Paul mentions about grace and mercy and peace that comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. And God wants us to experience that in our hearts. And then I'd like to look at, he uses this a number of times here in the pastoral epistles. Going to verse 14 of chapter 1 of Timothy, Paul says, "And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus." And I like that. And then going over to chapter 6 of 1 Timothy, in verse 21, we find this, "Which some professing have erred concerning the faith, grace be with thee." I think Paul here was telling Timothy the importance of preaching the all things and of keeping the all things. And he said, "Which some professing have erred concerning the faith." Then he says, "Grace be with thee." May the grace of God be with you as you address these situations and problems in the church. Now going to 2 Timothy. Again, we have this in verse 2, but let's also look at it in verse 9 of chapter 1, where he says, "Who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." Again, we find the word grace, where he says in, let's go back to verse 8, "Be not thou for ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." What a tremendous challenge as we think about that. That God wants us, all men, to be saved through his grace. And he said he's called us with an holy calling, not because of our works, but according to his own purpose for us. And he's given us grace to fulfill that purpose in life, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Now going over to chapter 2, verse 1. "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." And going to chapter 4, verse 22, where he says, "The Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit, and grace be with you." Then he says, "Amen." The Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit, and grace be with you. Now going to Titus, chapter 1, verse 4. I think we'll read that again. To Titus, mine own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Then going to chapter 2, verse 11. He says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. Again, he says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. I think we'll read the rest of the chapter here. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Here we find Paul giving this instructions to Titus. And as he says there in verse 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. But we are fully aware that not all men receive this grace and experience this salvation because of not being willing to respond to the gospel. All right, now going to chapter 3 of Titus. Then we'll read verse 7 and 15. That being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. I think we'll read on down to verse 15. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men, but avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. A man that is an heretic after the first and second admonition reject, knowing he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself. When I shall send Artemius unto thee, or Nicias, be diligent to come unto me to Nicopolis, for I have determined there to win her. Bring Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their journey diligently, that nothing be wanting unto them. And let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. All that are with me salute thee. Greet them that love us in the faith. Grace be with you all. In this chapter, we find Paul beginning, in this book rather, about the importance of grace, and that we live it and we pass it on to others. The grace of God, whereby we experience salvation. Right, the next one we have is mercy, which the Strongs would say, compassion, human or divine, especially active, plus tender mercy. Plus tender mercy. I like that. And God wants us to have compassion and tender mercy in the way we live as children of God. And first of all, that we experience his grace and his mercy in our life. And then we live it out and pass it on. And I've been blessed with that. And I don't say this to, I say part of it to my shame. But sometimes I've been known as a person that is strong. And we need to know where we stand and what we believe. But then recently I was talking to a brother and he was talking about some needs. I don't even remember where it was. It wasn't in our church here. About some needs in the church and about the importance of taking a stand. Then I told him, I said, and maybe some of you say, well, that's my weakness, and maybe it is. And I told him, I tend to be a little softer than I was at one time. And I desire to have compassion, to have mercy, to have grace, and to extend it with others. But I know the scripture is also very clear. There's a time when we need to cry out and spare not, and we need to deal with sin and corruption in the churches. And I know this is something that is lacking in many churches today, and maybe we fail in that area as well. But as we think about mercy here, I'd like to look at in 1 Timothy, we just have it there in, in verse 2, but in 2 Timothy, in verses 16 and 18 of chapter, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 16 and 18. No, pardon me, in 2 Timothy chapter 1, 16 and 18. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Nesiphorus. Oh, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, and in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. Another translation for verse 18 would say, may the Lord show him special kindness on the day of Christ's return. I believe Paul had a love for this brother and for his compassion that he showed to Paul. And so Paul is saying, the Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day. I believe he'd already experienced mercy. But I believe Paul wanted him to find special mercy, our recognition from God. As he says, may the Lord show him special kindness on the day of Christ and his return. Now going to Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And that's a beautiful scripture, and we praise God for that grace, for that mercy, which we can experience in him. Then in 1 Timothy 1, 13 and 16, we have the word grace, which is translated from a slight different Greek word. 1 Timothy 1, 13 and 16, which also talks about mercy here. No, about grace. 1 Timothy 1, 13 and 16. Who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious? No, it is mercy. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Now going to verse 16. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Paul is saying, howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. And Paul here, there in verse 13, he says, who was before? Talking about himself. In verse 12, we should read that. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Then he goes on to say about his past life. Who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And I've often thought about that. You know, Paul was very sincere in his living for God, but he discovered that he was sincerely wrong. He was persecuting the Christians. And then he had this experience with this bright light, and where he was struck blind, and when later he was restored to sight, and God gave him this command to go and preach the gospel to the Gentiles. And so Paul, I believe, is saying here, I did it in ignorantly and in unbelief, but the grace of our Lord Jesus was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Then he went on to say that this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. I believe Paul recognized that Then he says, howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy. For the purpose that people recognize, the Gentiles recognize, that God had spoken to Paul, changed his life. He obtained mercy and grace, and God is at work in his heart and life. And what a tremendous blessing and challenge as we think about that. I also had made a copy this morning from the Vines a dictionary on the word mercy and grace. And I must have left it at home. I couldn't find it. But I regret that because I appreciated some of the things that were written there. And I hope I can at least bring a few of those to your attention. But it says before we can experience mercy, we need to experience grace. Before we can experience peace, we need to experience grace. And that's why Paul says, grace and peace, you know, be given to you or be multiplied to you. And the grace of God and the peace of God, we be blessed with that. And, of course, in these pastoral epistles, he's saying the grace and the mercy and the peace of God. And so I believe it is. If we want to experience the mercy of God, then we need to recognize we need the grace of God. And then once we've experienced the grace and the mercy of God, I believe then we can experience the peace of God. And I like what the Strong says about peace. It says to join to peace, quietness, rest, plus set at one again. And isn't that beautiful when we think of peace? First of all, you know, we are lost. We've strayed away from God. We've experienced this sinful nature through our parents, Adam and Eve. As the Bible says, by one man, sin entered into the world. But we praise God by the righteousness of one man. Why, peace and rest and grace, we can experience that as well. So I like this, is to join. Peace is to join in relationship with God. And it's a quietness, and it's a rest, and it's set at one again, at one with God. And I like that, and I praise God for that. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, in verse 22, we have this verse. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Then he says, but foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, and patient. So he's telling us, flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, and peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Brethren and sisters, I've experienced times in my life, and I'm sure you have too, if you're honest, when you did not experience the peace of God. Your heart was in a turmoil. Your mind was in a turmoil because of the absence of the peace of God. It may have been a brother or a sister. It may have been your wife or your children. But you knew you did something that disturbed your peace. But the joy and that it was to go to that person and apologize and confess your wrong and ask them for forgiveness, and to have that exchanged and restored to having peace, not only with them, but as well, peace with God. And that's a tremendous blessing. A number of years ago, some of you might have heard me preach about the peace of God. There's a peace bridge up in Buffalo, New York. And I heard somebody share about this one time. And finally, the day came when I was able to cross, get the benefit of that peace bridge. And one thing I discovered, you drive up to the bridge, and there's a toll booth there. And I don't know what the price is today, but back then, if I remember correctly, it was 35 cents. And I could have looked at the man at the toll booth, and I could have said, how foolish. Why do you charge me 35 cents for the benefit of the bridge? It's probably been paid many times over. And he said, well, I didn't do this. But he probably would have said, if you want the benefit of this bridge, surely you can be willing to pay 35 cents. Well, I did. I didn't complain. I just reached my pocket and gave him 35 cents, and I enjoyed the benefit of that bridge. And I looked it up in the World Book Encyclopedia, and it said the reason that bridge was built because of the friendship between the people of Canada and Buffalo, New York. And they wanted a better way to communicate back and forth and enjoy each other's relationship and friendship. So they built the bridge, and so they could more easily experience that relationship. You know, I've thought already, many times we sell out our peace of God for things that are far less valuable than 35 cents. But praise be to God, we can have our peace restored as we come to Him and acknowledge our need and confess our sins and experience His grace and His mercy. And then we can experience the peace of God. What a wonderful blessing. Something the Bible tells us that the world knows nothing about. But praise God, we can experience it. In Lamentations 3, verse 22 through 24, I've jotted this down. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him. And I think, I trust all of us, if we're children of God, we've been to that place where we recognize it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions, they fail not. And they're new every morning. Do we wake up in the morning being reminded again and claiming them, that His compassions, they fail not, but they're new every morning? He's again merciful. His grace is there. His mercy is there. And His peace is there. And as the writer says, great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him. Now I'd like to, scholars believe that 1 Timothy was written in approximately 66 to 67. And 2 Timothy was written approximately 4 years later. Scholars also believe that the pastoral epistles were written soon after Paul's experiences in Acts chapter 28. I think we'll turn to that. Acts chapter 28. I'd like to read this. A number of verses here about Paul's experiences and how he wrote these epistles very soon after that. All right, Acts chapter 28, we're going to begin reading in verse 16 through the end. And when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard. But Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with a soldier that kept him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together. And when they were come together, he said unto them, Men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people or customs of our fathers, yet was I delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans, who, when they had examined me, would have let me go, because there was no cause of death in me. But when the Jews spake against it, I was constrained to appeal unto Caesar, not that I had aught to accuse my nation of. For this cause, therefore, I have called for you, to see you and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain. And they said unto him, We neither receive letters out of Judah concerning thee, neither any of the brethren that came showed or spake any harm of thee. But we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest. For as concerning this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. And some believed, and the things which were spoken, and some believed not. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed, After that, Paul had spoken one word. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, Go unto this people and say, Hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and the ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed, and had great reasoning among themselves. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house, and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God, and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ, with all confidence, no man forbidding him. This was a time when Paul was shipwrecked, and when they finally left and came to this place. It says here in verse 16, And when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard. But Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with a soldier that kept him. And then, of course, later here we read, and it says here how people came to his house, where he was, even the presence of that guard, and how Paul preached to them and shared the gospel to the Jews. But many of them turned their backs. Some believed, but many didn't. And then, of course, Paul turned to the Gentiles as well, and how he expounded to them. And it says that, and Paul dwelt, in verse 30, 2 whole years in his own hard house, and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God, and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ, with all confidence, no man forbidding him. You know, Paul took every opportunity he had to preach the gospel. Paul believed that the gospel, he knew the gospel had changed him. And he believed that same gospel could change others. And that's an area that sometimes I know I've been weak in. You know, sometimes you look at a person and you evaluate them, the life they're living. There's no way possible they'll change. But we cannot limit the power of God that comes into a person's heart and life, and the change it can bring back to bring honor and to bring glory unto God himself, if we allow him to. I've been blessed in reading these pastoral epistles, and I'm looking forward to sharing for them more. And I'd just like to go to 1 Timothy and read just a few verses here before we close. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. I just appreciate the wording that Paul here uses in his writing to Timothy, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Brethren and sisters, this morning, it is the will of God that we serve him, that we respond to the gospel, and that we live the gospel in our daily walk of life. We experience the grace and the mercy and the peace of God, and we live it in our daily walk of life, that others too might desire to experience that in their life. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience and without ceasing. I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee, by the putting on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. Brother Conrad talked about that this morning, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor me as prisoner, but be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. I think we'll stop here, but I'm blessed as I think of Paul writing to Timothy, encouraging him as a young minister of the gospel, and in telling him, he said, "My dearly beloved son, grace and mercy and peace from God the Father in Christ Jesus our Lord." That we can experience this, and not only Timothy, but all of us. And then he goes on to express appreciation for his family and for the teaching that they gave him. And he also says how he greatly desires to see thee. "I am mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy." And the relationship they had. And then he says in verse 6, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee, by the putting on of my hands." As we think of this charge that Paul gave him, and I believe it's important, all of us have a calling from God to serve him and to faithfully love him and serve him. Let's kneel in prayer. Our righteous eternal Father in heaven, it's with gratitude and praise that we come to you this morning. Father, grateful for your word, grateful for your grace and for your mercy and for your peace that we can experience in our lives. Father, we thank you for these pastoral epistles that you moved Paul to write, that we still have them today for the church of Jesus Christ. We thank you for the admonition, for the encouragement, for the instruction that we find in these scriptures. And we pray, Father, that we might apply them to our hearts and lives so that thereby you can be honored and glorified. Thank you for each one present here this morning. We also recognize there are many absent because of visiting and many of them are sick. We pray your grace and your strength and your peace upon their lives. Father, and as we think of the difficulty that Paul experienced in his ministry of being persecuted, of being in prison, and yet he remained faithful even unto the end. Not only faithful in living, but also faithful in sharing your gospel message and what Jesus Christ has done in his life. And Father, what you desire to continue to do in our lives as well. So we thank you for each one and pray you would bless in such a way that you can be honored and glorified. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen.
Well, we're glad that Brother Ken at least made it for the preaching. He wasn't here when I started. We're glad he came. Does someone have something you'd like to share? Thank you, Brother Ken. Glad you could be here. Anyone else? Thank you, Brother Jerry. Anyone else?
I'm thankful for the message that we heard this morning on grace, mercy, and peace. I would just like to say that I feel that God is working in my life and enabling me to show that grace, mercy,
Thank you, Brother Dan. Anyone else? All right, I may do something that's not standard practice this morning. I'm not sure. But Jonathan announced service this evening, and I think that's good. But I'm going to just check you out a little bit. How many of you are not planning on being here this evening? Okay. Not sure if I raise them again. Okay. All right. It's maybe three or four. So maybe some others will be here. So unless someone thinks we should, well, I think we'll go ahead and worship the Lord together this evening. All right. Do we have a song?
In your Christian hymnals, turn to number 57. This is a song that is in the Christian hymnal. It's in the morning section. I know it's almost lunchtime, but yet it's a song that I felt was very fitting with the message. And as I thought of being able to extend mercy to other people, we have to have experienced that mercy in our lives. And this song speaks of every morning, mercy's new, fall as fresh as morning dew. I think it's speaking of the mercy of God falling on us. And so I think we need to experience that mercy every morning. And then as we go throughout the day, we can extend that to others.
Every morning, let us pray.
you for that song. Appreciate that message. Shall we stand? Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen.